Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, October 29th. Here's a couple of news items from the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel. One person was killed early Monday morning in a crash on U.S. Highway 50 in the Canna Creek area. According to the Colorado State Patrol, two vehicles were involved in the accident, but the crash is believed to have been initiated by the rollover of a pickup truck. The 51-year-old male driver of the truck was ejected and killed in the incident. A 22-year-old woman was in the second vehicle, but no information was available about whether or not she was injured. Law enforcement was alerted to the crash at 5:40 a.m. The stretch of road around mile marker 48, which is 4 miles north of the Bridgeport turnoff along U.S. Highway 50, was closed for 4 hours. While the accident was under investigation. Next, the Ute Water Conservancy District will continue to provide domestic water to nearly 3,000 Town of Palisade residents into next week. The water delivery began last week as the town was forced to shut down its water system to replace two aging water valves near Rapid Creek Road. An additional leak was discovered on an 18-inch water line while replacing the two troublesome valves, meaning the water delivery will have to be extended longer than previously anticipated. Palisade water customers may see a light decrease in water pressure, but water quality will remain consistent. Customers who are at-home kidney dialysis patients or who own fish aquariums will need to take special note of the change, as Ute Water uses chloramines as a disinfectant, whereas the town uses chlorine, requiring additional treatment. And last, westbound U.S. Highway 6 and 50 will be closed late Wednesday and early Thursday from G Road to the I-70 eastbound and westbound ramps. The closure will occur between 9 p.m. and 5 a.m. as part of the I-70 Exit 26 improvement project. The highway ramp will be closed in both directions, heading westbound on Highway 6 and 50. Eastbound travelers will still be able to access both ramps. Flaggers will be present, and drivers can expect intermittent traffic stops. Alternate routes are advised. Business access will remain open. One of the most popular events for veterans in the North Fork Valley is coming up in November. The annual Stars and Stripes Military Ball in Cedar Edge is scheduled for November 9th in the ballroom next to the Pondy in Cedar Edge. Here's event host Kathy Mesko describing the event.
My name is Kathy Mesko. I'm the host of the Stars and Stripes Military Ball. This is the 8th year that we've hosted this event. It's in Cedar Edge. It's our way of honoring the veterans serving past and present. This is the 8th year, and I came up with this idea 8 years ago, and I didn't think anybody would come, and we are overbooked every year. It's just an incredible way to witness these veterans. We call them up to the stage, and these men that have served, we have a World War II tail gunner, we have Korea, we have Vietnam veterans, and it's just a sight to see when you see them up on this stage. And they just need to be honored. They need to not be forgotten, especially Vietnam veterans. So it's just a really nice way to give them their due. This year is November 9th, and it's at the ballroom next to the Pondy on Main Street in Cedar Edge. Veterans attend free. Everyone else is $25 per person. A reservation must be made because we sold out the week before last year. We have 150 people that usually attend. And we have veterans from World War II, Korea, and Vietnam, mainly Vietnam. And this way is just an amazing way to just have those veterans honored as they should be. It's quite the event. So I'd like to invite everyone to attend. You don't have to be a veteran to attend, but reservations are a must. So you can get a hold of me at 970-856-7522. My name is Kathy, and looking forward to speaking with you. And it's an event you won't want to miss. Thank you.
Once again, that's the annual Stars and Stripes Military Ball in Cedar Edge, coming up November 9th. Veterans attend free, and it is a popular event that will sell out. So get your reservations at 970-856-7522. This is from the Montrose Daily Press. Colorado Parks and Wilderness's recent count of Gunnison sage-grouse populations has left conservationists in fear of species loss. In Montrose County, the Crawford population had only 7 male birds, while none were counted at the Cerro Summit group. Range-wide, biologists counted only 429 males. In 2014, the Gunnison sage-grouse was listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act. The count of males indicates there are about 1,800 Gunnison sage-grouse total, with hens included. That is insufficient to sustain the species. Wildlife managers say 5,000 different individuals are needed to have a viable population. The decline shows the lowest number since record-keeping in the 1990s. Gunnison sage-grouse survival is tied closely to sagebrush habitat, which provides cover and attracts what the birds eat. The birds' habitat is being chopped up as the state's population grows, split by such development as mining and ski areas. And in another note about wildlife from the Montrose Daily Press, the Rocky Mountain Wolf Action Fund is close to having enough signatures to get an item placed on the ballot for the November 2020 election that would ask voters to allow the reintroduction of wolves to Colorado. The group needs 124,632 valid signatures, but when collecting them, there can be about a 30% attrition rate due to invalid signatures from those not registered to vote. The Wolf Action Fund first started gathering the signatures in June and expects it will need 200,000 total to attain the needed valid signatures. Proponents of the reintroduction of gray wolves argue that the Colorado ecosystem has not been the same since wolves were eradicated around 1940. Other wild animals, like elk and deer, have become sedentary and have negatively affected the environments around them. Those against the ballot initiative say wolves pose an unnecessary threat to livestock and cost farmers time and money. The proposed law, Initiative 107, proposes paying ranchers for any livestock killed by wolves. If the initiative were to make it to the ballot, and if voters approved it, Colorado would be the first state where voters mandated wolves be reintroduced, rather than wildlife organizations and scientists. And that was your KVNF Regional Newscast for Tuesday, October 29th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.